She took what was just an idea, a spiritual seed, to selling her company to L'Oreal for $1.2 billion. Hello, and welcome to Deconstructing Freedom. In these episodes of the Unstoppable Woman podcast, we're looking at stories of women entrepreneurs who have reached high levels of business success, and we're deconstructing some of the key elements of what lead to their phenomenal business success, but also what in their stories, I think, leads to emotional and mental freedom. Now, of course, this is tricky because I'm assessing from the outside looking in, and you never know what's really going on for people. But I do think that there are certain mental attitudes that if you adopt, you will feel less trapped and more mentally and emotionally and personally free. Success leaves trails of evidence. There's a playbook for success. People may talk about it differently, use different words, their path might be different on the surface, their actual businesses might be very, very different, but the fundamentals of success are the same. So in these episodes, we will be deconstructing their stories through the lens of universal law and the manifestation matrix, so you can really see how these are at play. I suggest you listen to these episodes with an ear to how you can apply these concepts to you and your business and life right now. So without further ado, our first Deconstructing Freedom episode is going to be on Jamie Kern Lima, the co-founder and CEO of IT Cosmetics. She presents a great real-life example of persistence and overcoming rejection. So, taking a vision and a belief and an idea and applying consistent hard work and really going from nothing to something is what we're talking about here. She took what was just an idea, a spiritual seed, to selling her company to L'Oreal for $1.2 billion. Yes, you heard that right. $1.2 billion with a B, dollars. And she remained CEO of the brand after the acquisition by L'Oreal, becoming the first female CEO of a major cosmetics company. And if you can believe it, the company then doubled in size in the first 3 years after being sold to L'Oreal. On that note, it's important to call out that women comprise 47% of the U.S. workforce, yet they make up barely a quarter of all senior executives at large U.S. public companies. Only about 5% of Standard & Poor's 500 companies, top 500 companies have female CEOs. That's so small. And of the companies that compromise the 2019 Fortune 500 list, 33 have women CEOs. And that is an all-time high, which is not that high. In 2019, she made the Forbes richest self-made women list and is worth upwards of $440 million now. So how did she go from having less than $1,000 in her personal and business bank accounts combined to this wild level of success? It's certainly not a story of overnight success. We're seeing the after picture, the results of years of dedication, emotional investment, faith, certitude, belief, and sacrifice. But it is a story of rapid and incredible success, because most people never get to this level of success, and most people never do it in the comparatively short amount of time that it took her to do this. So let's deconstruct her success. Let's look at what it took for her to get from just that spiritual seed of an idea, this concept of what she wanted to do, to selling her business for $1.2 billion and then going on and tripling its growth and moving on to even bigger impact goals in her life and her business. We're going to first look at Jamie's early years. So she is the first person in her family to go to college. Already, this is breaking free of limitations in her circumstances. So her circumstances were a family and an environment that didn't go for higher education, didn't have those opportunities, perhaps. I don't know the whole story there, but certainly if you are the first person to go to college in your family, you are having to break free of some limiting beliefs about what's possible and not look at your environment as your immediate environment as the role model, but something bigger and beyond that. So that's a clue. Look for something beyond your current environment that is going to be the light that calls you forward, the thing that drives you, that is inspiration, okay? And set your goals from there, not what you think is possible based on your current experience or current circumstances. Growing up and throughout college, she worked many different jobs. She says she babysat, she taught gymnastics, she worked as a receptionist, she served food at Denny's, and she bagged groceries at Safeway. So she's not afraid of hard work, and she has a strong work ethic. She does whatever it takes to get by. None of those jobs were particularly glamorous. She was not standing on ceremony or being too good for the effort. She did what was required to get through and put herself through college and achieve her bigger goals. So from my perspective, I've always had a strong work ethic, but I had to learn to own it. Because right now we hear some things in the sort of middle class world that says, don't work so hard, take it easy, just relax. Can't you just relax? Find balance. Now, all of this, when said with the right intention, is powerful and supportive. But sometimes you really want to go for it. And you have all this drive and ambition. And you, quite frankly, you have work ethic up the wazoo, but the outside world is saying you've got to put that on pause because you don't want to make other people feel bad. I remember actually walking through the grocery store once, really energized and happy and moving quickly because I was like, I want to get in and out of here. I want to get right back at it. And the store clerk who was putting groceries on the shelf said to me, hey, lady, take it easy, slow down. And it made me pause and second guess myself initially. And it was really quite disturbing to me. This was years and years and years ago when I didn't know how to block my mind to outside influences that from people that I didn't want to give the power to influence me to. Not everyone you want to give that power to. You want to be very selective about who you choose to listen to. At the time, it threw me off course. I'm like, am I a workaholic? Am I bad? Am I wrong? All this stuff. And of course, you don't want to burn out. And this is not about overwhelm. But the truth is that massive success takes massive effort. And in the beginning, mostly, when success is not guaranteed and you have to go on faith, you have to put in a ton of effort in order to actualize what you want. There's a key element to manifestation, which is action and effort. Now, this doesn't have to be with a sense of diminished self. You can be really happy and delighted in that effort. And I think that has a lot to do with not feeling guilty or wrong about what you're doing. In this case, we're talking about not feeling guilty or wrong by having an extraordinary work ethic and wanting to work in and on your business. So take a look at that. Okay, back to Jamie. Early on, she talks about how her experience of being at working at Denny's and actually being fired from her job at Denny's was a really pivotal point in her life and something that she looks back on now, having learned the lesson of. So when she was working at Denny's, that particular Denny's had an operational issue where they couldn't get the food out of the kitchen. They couldn't get the pancakes on the plate to the customer. And the customers were having to wait something like an hour to get their food. So she, being full of desire to help people in customer service, was trying to do whatever she could to make the customer happy. So she was talking to the customers, keeping them entertained, feeding them ice cream, which was one of the free things that, you know, was not tracked, and she could give the customers while they waited. And she got fired for that, for taking the time with customers. But now she looks at those experiences and really sees that she was looking for operational efficiencies while she was there. She was seeing what wasn't working in the kitchen and trying to help and make things right. She's trying to solve problems. She was looking at how to treat people well and really seeing people individually. That in and of itself is a big theme in her life, really wanting to help people. And that's a key thing that I want to pull out here. Successful people help. They help people. They figure out how to solve problems for other people and help them. This is where their success comes from. Now, sometimes that help is not immediately compensated financially, but sometimes it is, right? Many people in business sell their services, and that's what they get compensated for. Solving a problem through a product or service that they sell for other people. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But I want to let you know that she now sees this as a huge piece of how she operates. And she looks back on it and sees that she wasn't a victim of that experience, but that is one of the ways she learned great lessons about how to run a business and how not to run a business. So for you, how quickly can you do that with the lessons that you're learning right now? Being fired is never an easy thing emotionally, but how quickly can you turn that around and really find the lesson in whatever experience that you've had? This is one of the ways you can close the gap on time and not be held back from the next action and the next steps you need to take. So what are the painful experiences for you in your past? What skills did you actually demonstrate that others may not have actually recognized? And are you using them in your current business? Can you see how that's actually one of your strengths? And how could you integrate them more into how you do business and how you show up in this world? This is really important. Reframe the past in order to release what might have been holding you back so that you can move forward. People often hold on to these experiences and, quite frankly, other people's opinions or interpretations of them. You have to sacrifice this. You want to reframe your experiences and forgive and release the past while learning the lesson that is in it. Okay, business requires that you get good at lots of things and not just do what you're naturally good at. So this is not an excuse for skipping out on the learning and the growth, right? You have to do that. But look at what might have been rejected by others. And is it really what you excel at? And claim that for yourself. Okay, back to Jamie. She held the title of Miss Washington after winning it on her second try. So we're already seeing persistence come in here. She didn't give up after the first time. And on a dare, she submitted an application to be a member of the first season of the reality TV show Big Brother and was accepted. She was also on an episode of Baywatch, she talks about these both of these experiences as teaching her to take risks. But I'd also add that she was putting herself out there and exposing herself to rejection or the potential for rejection. Because think of it, what was she actually risking? There was nothing actually to lose unless she gave other people power over her self-image and what she thought of herself. Because, you know, when you put yourself out there for something new, you're already at no, you already don't have it. There's nothing that you're losing there, except if you let other people's reactions, the experience, affect your ego, right? Affect your self-image and what you think of yourself. So she says that it helped her really toughen up. And it, specifically about the Big Brother experience, she said that afterward she would walk into a restaurant and people would be like, hey, you're that girl. There were thousands of fan sites and thousands, listen to this, of hate sites. And it helped her have a tougher skin. Isn't that interesting? We think that fame is going to give you all these accolades, this boost to your ego. But in fact, there are equally huge numbers of people trying to tear you down and throwing hate at you and criticizing and not being supportive. So it comes with both, but you need to decide what you're going to pay attention to. That is really the law of neutralization right there. What are you going to pay attention to? Which pole are you going to pay attention to, and which side are you going to neutralize? Okay, so next up, she's off to Columbia for her MBA. So it's already a huge thing to be the first in her family to go to college, but now she's on to get her MBA. And of course, she doesn't stop there. She keeps setting bigger goals for herself. And this is part of being unstoppable, continuing to expand what's possible for you and continuing to set bigger goals quickly, closing the gap on how quickly you set those bigger goals is going to really determine how much you can achieve in your lifetime. And by achieve, I don't only mean what you're able to do and to have, but who you are able to be in this world, what level of beingness you can achieve. So after Columbia, she decided to follow her dream of being a news anchor. She thought this was her calling and went to a small market where they offered her a job for $23,500. Now, compare this to the average salary at the time coming out of Columbia MBA, the Columbia MBA program, which was $126,000. So that's basically a five times incremental difference, right? She could have been making five times more than what she was, what the job she took was. And she still had lots of student loans. So here we see someone who's following her dreams, believing in herself, trusting herself, and not letting money drive her decisions. Now, I'm not going to say here that money wasn't important to her, but it wasn't driving her decisions. It wasn't scaring her into making a decision that wasn't right for her. And she was probably thinking long-term here. This is one of the things I see with a lot of successful people. It's not that they don't want to make money. It's that they want to be doing what they love and what they think is going to help. They're not afraid of the hard work. They're not afraid of moving through the challenges. They're not afraid of doing the things within the big goal, the big desire, the passion that they have that are required and that are hard to get to where they want to go. But they are in a place that they love, that it's what they want to be doing. So she did this, and she took immediate action in the present on her big desires, taking a risk with a long view. But this is where things didn't go so well, at least not on the surface. She talks here about her weight fluctuating and always getting in trouble about it from her producers on camera, okay? And the viewers would write in and say things like, I really like you, but you should diet, or are you pregnant? Ouch. God, that must have hurt, right? She says, the criticism crushed me, and that she started doubting herself and asking herself, am I pretty anymore? Now, keep in mind, this is someone who was Miss Washington and on Baywatch, okay? And now people are reflecting back to her, like, that she needs to go on a diet, and are you pregnant? And her producers are saying she has got to do something about it. So here we see that she wasn't perfect. It hurt. It does hurt. Of course the criticism hurts. But she had to move through it to get to the next level. What she didn't do was stop and turn around and shrink and be small. She kept going, and she created resilience for herself by being unstoppable here. And she ultimately turned this pain into her gain. It was in her anchor post that her rosacea, which is a skin ailment, your skin is really rough and bumpy in texture and quite red, and it's on your face mostly. So her rosacea flared up, and the hair on her eyebrows started to fall out. And this spurred her to search for makeup that would hide these problems but not wilt under the studio lights. And she tried all the products on the market, but they didn't work. She was kind of desperate, okay? But this painful experience led her to launch IT Cosmetics, with the goal of creating a product that would actually work for women like her. So let's break this down here. There's an opportunity in every situation. This is the law of polarity. The law of polarity says that everything is here now, and everything is equal and opposite, and both sides are here now. So this was a big problem for Jamie, but it meant that there was a big solution that was also equally present at the same time. Now, that doesn't mean that it's equally present in the 3D manifested reality. No, it was a solution that existed, an idea that existed that she then had to call in. Okay, so this is certainly a case of that, right? Of the law of polarity, a big problem, big solution. She says, I kind of just became obsessed. Why are there millions of makeup brands out there, but nothing works for me? There must be other women out there that feel this way. And I kind of became obsessed with the idea of creating something that truly works if you have issues with your skin. And it turns out that 70% of women have some kind of hyperpigmentation of their skin. That's huge. And yet the industry wasn't solving that problem. So there are two things here. One, she's solving a problem. In business, you're here to solve problems for people. That's super, super important. Yes, you want to be doing what you love in this world, but in order to be compensated, you have to solve a problem for people. That's the value that you bring and what you're getting paid for. How quickly and how efficiently can you do that? That's part of being compensated well. Second, here, she was obsessed. Pay attention to that. She was obsessed. And she mentions it often in almost every interview that I listen to of her. She talks about being obsessed with this. This is so critical. This is the burning desire piece of creation and manifestation and success. I talk about it in the manifestation matrix. We have to start with desire. And Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich says that desire is the starting point of all achievement and is the first step towards riches. Let me say that again. Desire is the starting point of all achievement and is the first step towards riches. Pay attention to that. You have to want what you want. And note that her desire was around solving a problem for others, helping others. not without compensation, but fundamentally she was obsessed with and had a burning desire to help other women. What's your burning desire? And does it help other people? Connect those dots for yourself. Okay, flash to 2007. On her honeymoon, she and her husband and business partner, Paulo Lima, wrote their business plan. I absolutely love this. One, they wrote their business plan on their honeymoon. I love that, right? Don't let others tell you what's fun or romantic. You define your world. You get to choose, okay? This was fun for them. This is exactly what they wanted to do. This is how they wanted to spend their time, okay? So this is a real issue for people, thinking that they have to do things by other people's rules or by society's definition of what's right, or the culture says you have to be on a beach sipping pina coladas on your honeymoon. Now, if that's what you wanted to, bully for you, go for it. Zero judgment. Love that too. I happen to be a big fan of pina coladas. You know, if you want to go straight to my heart, bring me a pina colada. Love them. Okay. I probably wouldn't turn it down. Now, do I love writing business plans, working on my business, diving in deep? Yes, that is such a friggin' turn on for me. You know, that's what I love to do. So why wouldn't I want to do that with the person that I love on my honeymoon? Okay. So you want to look at this and what you do as full self-expression. Okay. You want to be able to own yourself without letting the outside world define who you are and what you should be doing. Okay. Those voices in your head, that self-doubt, that self-imposed guilt, where are those coming from? And are you going to listen to that or what you really want to do? This is such a big thing. I'll probably do another episode of a whole episode of a podcast on this. And quite frankly, this has not been the easiest thing for me to figure out. I feel like I'm probably 80 to 90% good on this right now, but I really used to look outside of myself for affirmation about what the right thing to do was. I was extremely driven, okay? And yet I was externally driven. Okay, so I was driven by the external things and people in my life, and I wasn't thinking for myself. I didn't have any grounding in what I truly wanted, what was right for me, what I knew the correct course of action was. So I think you have to learn two things around this. You have to learn who to listen to, and it's important to have a mentor, someone further along, someone with a higher level of awareness than you that has done the things that you want to do, to ask advice to, okay? And yet the flip side of this is that you have to stop caring about what other people think is right for you. So choose who you listen to, okay, and do what they say. That's where you have to actually do what other people say, because you're coming at your goals from your current level of awareness, but that's going to keep you trapped because you're going to keep making decisions within that level of awareness. You need someone who has done it before you to let you know what the path is, go do this, and then you have to actually listen to them and do that. Now, you also have to stop caring about what other people think that may not be the right people to listen to, okay? You might love them. They might be your husband or wife, your kids, your colleagues, your parents, your great uncle, your aunt, friends, colleagues. Did I say that already? But if they do not have the correct mindset and do not have have not done what you want to do yet, then it's probably not a good idea to listen to them saying, don't do it like this, do it like this. They have their own stories of limitation that hold you back. Next up in Jamie's story, she quits her job and goes for it. She says about this, I quit my job, you know, before having really any type of safety net. So think about that. She still had college debt. She still had all this money that she owed, and she left the salaried position that she had. She says, it was a big risk, but I think you have to do it. Otherwise, you know, you have regrets. So this is the classic burn the bridges, no going back move. This is a decisive, immediate action. It's a clear line in the sand. And it's one of the things you hear over and over again with successful people. They do something that is a clear decision, emphatic decision, that is an all-in approach that they can't go back from. And it's one of the ways that they spur themselves on to greatness, quite frankly, because then you can't weasel out of it. You have to do it. So for me, it was investing a huge amount of money into my business in the form of mentorship. It was the amount of a small home mortgage, quite frankly. And that was my line in the sand. That was my, I'm doing this moment. I decided I want this. I'm doing this. I'm getting the help to do this. And I'm spending the money, and I'm not going to lose that return on investment. I am going to go all in and make it happen for myself. Now, just doing that is not enough, clearly. As you'll hear in Jamie's story, and certainly with my story, you have to put the effort and the work in. It's not like magical thinking. You don't just pay for something and then, oh, okay, great. I paid a lot of money and, you know, more money's going to, you know, rain from the sky. It doesn't happen like that. Or you don't just decide, you don't just quit your job and then stare at your belly button. You have to then go into action. It's kind of obvious, but a lot of people miss this step. Okay, so next up in Jamie's story, there are 3 years before she's able to actually take a paycheck, where she was working her ass off, staying in faith and belief. She talks about that a lot, even though she was getting hundreds of rejections and no one was really buying. They were actually only getting a few sales on their website every day. But that's, you know, yay for a few little sales, right? But that's not significant at all. You can't build a business off of 3 sales of makeup a day. And she goes on to say, it's hard to be the one who believes when your gut is telling you one thing while other people are totally not getting it. So you got to remember this. You have to know for yourself with certainty, even when the outside world is telling you it's not going to work, it's not worthy, it's not happening, we're not buying, all of that. Now, this is a challenge because you have to have discernment. You know, there's the time where, you know, why would you, throw good money after bad kind of thing? Like, at what point do you say, this isn't working, we have to course correct? And from what I understand from listening to Jamie's interviews is that she really felt so clearly and strongly in her gut that this was right, that it kept her going. She had a huge amount of faith. So at this point, she is under $1,000 in her personal and business bank account, and she has applied for SBA loans, and no one would give her the money based on their projections and their business plan alone. You know, they weren't making enough sales yet for most banks to back her. But the last bank that they applied for that was their last opportunity decided to come for a site inspection and see their operations, if you were would. And this was their apartment. So with less than $1,000 in her bank account, she goes out and buys IKEA furniture. Now, this seems like a crazy thing to do. You only have $1,000 left, and she spends the majority of that on her furnishings in her office. What about paying rent? What about her next meal? What about like buying product, right? What about feeding and clothing themselves? All of that stuff, okay? And yet, this was an act of faith. She spent money in faith. Okay. And she kept stepping into the image of who she knew herself to be, what her business needed to be. And she did the thing that would take her to that next level. Now, there's also something here that I really want to emphasize. And this is about the impression of increase. Wallace Wattles in The Science of Getting Rich, chapter 14, talks about the impression of increase. And this is where you give the impression to the people around you that you can help them increase their life. You impress upon them that you are someone who is increasing in their life. And this is what she did by doing this with her money before the SBA loan officer came out to visit her. Now, of course, she mapped this to massive action. Now, I'd like to share a little story of my own that this triggered, this helped me remember. When I was probably in my second year in business, I'd have to go back and look. I decided that I was tired of coaching my clients and doing the work on my business in an office that was filled with makeshift furniture that didn't match, that didn't feel elevated, that wasn't beautiful, that didn't give me a sense of increase, for that matter, even though at that time I didn't know what that meant. I was an unconscious competent living this law, if you will, at the time. And I went out and I spent money against my husband's desires, but it was the money that I had made and received. And he thought it was silly to spend money like this. You know, you don't really need it, right? You have something that works. It's sufficient. And I was like, nope, I'm doing this. I really want it. I need to up level. And I have to tell you, that was one of the best things I ever did for myself, because then I walked into my business and I felt like I was actually successful. And then I could sell better and I could help my clients better. And I stepped into the next level of being the woman I knew myself to be. It was such a huge decision, and one that I've subsequently made over and over again every time I change environments or feel like I'm tolerating something in my environment. I rapidly increase it. And I do it in faith, even though it feels at times like it's not the wisest use of money. But I map it to massive action. So remember that. It's not one without the other. Okay. So one of the quotes that I have from her that is one that, let me say this differently. She quotes Jay-Z and says that this is applicable to her. And she says, this is Jay-Z's quote, "The genius thing we did was never give up." I freaking love that. The genius thing we did was never give up. So they kept going. This is persistence, you guys. It's huge. They got rejection after rejection. Every industry expert said no for years. QVC said no year after year, okay? Submission after submission. But she kept going. Now, she talks about crying herself to sleep. She kept getting no after no, getting close only to get a no, okay? And there's this one particular instance where she goes to an industry expert who she's had many conversations with. They're thinking about investing in her company, and she's across the boardroom table from this man, and someone she greatly admires. And he says, "We've decided not to invest in your company." And, you know, gulping down her disappointment, she does the right thing, by the way, and she asks, you know, she says she was grateful. She thanked them for their consideration and then asks, "Could you let me know what impacted your decision? How did you get to this decision?" And that's a really important thing. You've got to ask people not just why they say yes, but why they say no. And that, again, is opening yourself up to the pain of rejection. Okay, but you must do this. Now listen to what happens next. He tells her he doesn't think women will buy from her. He says, "Who would buy from you?" Meaning, who would buy from someone who looks like you, someone who doesn't fit the industry model of beauty? Because she was at this point overweight, you know, with rosacea, not perfect. Now, this caused her to doubt herself, and she remembers crying herself to sleep. Again, there's a lot of crying yourself to sleep here. But she continued to check in with herself and her gut and her faith, and it was saying, yes, keep going. So faith is huge, and belief is huge, and intuition is huge, and your gut is huge. All of this is so important, okay? And it's right after this point, actually, it's right after, somewhere in this area where she got the SBA loan, but she was still getting the rejections, that she got on QVC. There's a lot more story in there, but I'm shortcutting it to get to this next level. So, I want to take a pause here. I'm pausing here because I want to emphasize something that Think and Grow Rich talks about. So this is the book by Napoleon Hill that's had a huge impact on me and many other people who have reached great success, contribute their success to reading this book regularly. So Think and Grow Rich says, persistence is an essential factor in the procedure of transmuting desire into its monetary equivalent. The basis of persistence is the power of will. So this is a huge piece here. People underestimate the required effort and how much persistence you need to have, even in the face of this level of rejection. Jamie says she started IT Cosmetics and she knew that this was an idea that was going to work. She really believed in it. She believed that their products would change women's lives. But literally everyone was saying no. So you have to believe, if you have a dream or you want to go into business or start your own business, you have to be ready to hear a lot of no's, okay? And you've got to get over your fear of rejection. This is a big thing that stops women at all stages of their business. And be on a constant lookout for this. Be vigilant about it because it sneaks in the back door and can catch you unawares. Whenever I get to the next level, okay, I'm like, woohoo, doing great. Hallelujah. Yay. This is so much fun. And then something like a little rejection from someone I admire will come in. Boom. And I've let it in the past pull me back down, throw me off course. And you have to be vigilant for this. You have to remember to buffer yourself and lock your mind to these kinds of things. Okay. So one other thing that she says here about keeping her faith in the face of rejection is that she always knew that she was meant to do great things that help people. Now, she always knew this. You want to ask yourself, what have you always known? For me, I knew I was here to help, to be a teacher, to be able to translate complicated concepts into concepts that people could easily put into actionable steps, right? To really take action on. And I was here to inspire people to do great things and help them do that. But I didn't always know the path or the how. What about you? What have you always known about what you're here to do? Answer that question. Okay, let's talk about her first appearance on QVC. She finally got a little in. It's a very interesting story. I'm going to skip it though. She finally got her first shot at QVC. Now it's not just her first shot, but it could be her only shot, because when they give you an opportunity on QVC, you have 6 minutes and you have to sell out and reach the target that they give you. And if you don't reach their target, if you don't sell out, if you get close but not there, you're never on QVC again. You've got one shot, okay? And if you don't reach that target, you're not coming back. One shot only. So the stakes are extraordinarily high. So for the week before that 6 minute segment, she sat in the parking lot of QVC visualizing being on the show. I find this fascinating. Most people wouldn't do something like that. But she did. She spent all that time sitting there playing out the movie of what she was going to do, how she was going to show up, how she was going to present her product, and selling out. She also talks about visualizing and imagining all women of all shapes and sizes being helped by her product. I think that's really an important piece. She visualized the outcome that she wanted as well, the help that she was providing as well. So she used her mental faculty of imagination positively to see what she wanted, to see herself helping and being of service, seeing her products helping people. And she also at this point decided to go against what most beauty experts, well, all the beauty experts at the time were telling her that she needed to do. They were telling her that she needed to have young models of a certain look and beauty standard that were basically the perfect version of beauty to be the models on her show. But this did not align with her mission for the product, which was helping all women feel beautiful. So she took a huge risk again. Here we have risk. She took a huge risk, and she says it was so scary to do this, but she moved towards her fear and she didn't play it safe, okay? So she put women of that didn't fit the beauty mold of the time on her 6 minute segment, okay? And she says that later in hindsight, she could see that this is what differentiated her and her product in the marketplace and is ultimately what made it so that L'Oreal would buy her company, because it was different than anything else out there on, you know, in their product line. This is what differentiated her and her product in the marketplace. And ultimately, it's what made it so that L'Oreal bought the company for as much money as they did, because it was what differentiated them from all the other product lines that they had. It solved a different problem, and quite frankly, it spoke to a different group of women or a different type of woman who wanted a different kind of solution. And remember, they bought her company for $1.2 billion. So this risk really paid off, but she did not know that at the time. Okay, so the happy story there is that she took the risk. It was terrifying. She was shaking like a leaf, but she did it, and they sold out right at the buzzer. So she was then able to continue to grow on QVC and elsewhere. But let's talk about QVC. She had constant appearances on QVC and had a relentless work ethic on that show. She did every single QVC appearance for her product line with her husband in the back looking at on his laptop, working the numbers, looking at the supply chain, the operations, all of that. Both of them talk about putting in 100-hour work weeks for 10 years and not taking a day off since they launched the company. That is freaking amazing. Talk about work ethic. Okay, that might not be what you want to do, but that, if you want a $1.2 billion company, you might think about that level of work ethic, okay? So, you know, and at one point, she did a 40-hour marathon on QVC with only very short breaks, selling 250,000 products to the tune of $10 million within that 40 hours. That is extraordinary. That is just extraordinary. And I want to speak to that because the law of compensation says you will be compensated according to the need for what you do, your ability to do it, and the difficulty in replacing you. Those QVC appearances made her irreplaceable. People wanted to see her. It's what set her apart. She wasn't just any other brand. She created relationships with her audience, and she spoke to women. And this made her very difficult to replace, okay? Ultimately, she gets to the place where she can do that, and there's a transition after 3 years of being the CEO at L'Oreal. But you want to think about that. How difficult is it to replace you, okay? So her appearances on QVC always begin with her talking calmly into the camera about women's grievances with makeup. So as a business owner, you can't be afraid here to name the problem that you are solving. Just call it out for people. This is so important. She then uses a face wipe to remove the makeup on her cheek to reveal her own rosacea. And then she reapplies her IT Cosmetics products and her red marks disappear. So this is important, guys. Doug Howe, a person I was reading about, who was an executive vice president of merchandising and planning at QVC, says, how many people would come out to 100 million people wearing no makeup? That's so powerful. And it shows her willingness to be vulnerable. Jamie supports this by saying, I hope that by showing you my true self, it encourages you to be brave and courageous. Courage starts by showing up and letting ourselves be seen. And instead of being scared of it, actually getting empowered by it. Oof, so important. And think about that. That's what she's actually saying, selling here. It's courage and confidence. That's the solution behind the problem, or the problem behind the problem that she's solving, okay? You want to think about that. What does the product or service that you solve, that you sell, solve on a conscious or practical first level? And then what is the deeper problem that it solves behind that? Super important. Okay, now we get to the sale of her company to L'Oreal. She says, it's been the most difficult thing I've ever gone through because the purchase price was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Every person I've ever known has come out of the woodwork asking for things. Can you help me with my mortgage? Things like that. Even with family, it's been tough. Okay. So this will happen, guys. And you've got to ask yourself, is it worth it to you? Are you willing to go for what you want, even though there will be difficult circumstances? Okay, you'll probably have to, in this case, she had to learn, or not just learn, but she probably learned it a long time ago. She had to say no to people who were really in need and experience that. So are you going to be able to rise to the occasion? Are you going to see that in your mind's eye? Or are you going to let that potential challenging circumstance stop you before you even go for it? Jamie has consistently risen to the occasion and has consistently been unstoppable, moving through challenges quickly with faith, belief, certitude, and persistence. I think she's an incredible role model for all of us. Now, I have a number of things that I would ask Jamie in an interview if I ever had that opportunity. And a few of the top ones are this: where did and does her faith and belief come from? How does she, on a practical level, connect to it when everything around her seems to be falling apart? Like, what are the practical things that she does? I would also ask her what, if anything, she would do differently. And not lastly, because I have a whole list of questions here, but the last one that I would, I have two more that I want to share with you. Given how hard she and her husband Paulo worked, do you think your marriage would have survived and thrived if you weren't in the same business together? I'd love to hear more about building this empire together as husband and wife and how this was an asset and how it was challenging. I would also be curious about having a discussion with her about her weight. She had this pageant Baywatch body, something I've never had, and in her career photos, she clearly put on weight over her growth of her business. And weight for women is such a big deal. And I wouldn't want to avoid discussing it because I think there's clearly so much to learn from bringing the conversation out in the open. I'd want to know how this fits into her story, what lessons there are in it, and how it impacted her both positively and negatively. In addition, like, what were the voices in her head? And did she feel like she had to sacrifice the weight side of things in order to build her business? I know for me, the weight voices in my head have always been there, and it's felt so good to start prioritizing that in my own life, you know, prioritizing my own health and fitness in my life and my business. But that's not always been the case, and it's not always easy even now to put that first before something else that it seems like a pressing priority in your business. So I have a ton more questions for her that I've written down. So if anyone has a connection with Jamie or knows someone who knows her right? Any connection counts. I would love to get her on this show and ask her these questions myself and so much more. So I'm putting that out to the universe. If you know her or know someone who knows her or know someone who knows her, someone who knows her, I would love an introduction. Okay, in summary, I would like to leave you with a question. What one or two things did you take away from this episode that you are going to apply in your business and your life? Write a comment. I read all the comments weekly. Or send me an email at Amira@theunstoppablewoman.com. So that's Amira, A, M as in Mary, I, R as in rabbit, A, at theunstoppablewoman.com. Thanks for listening. Be unstoppable. Have an amazing day and keep rocking it out. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a part of the Unstoppable Woman movement. I want to let you know that we've got a ton of free resources for you for scaling your business at theunstoppablewoman.com/free-stuff. Please go ahead and check those out. And we'd also love your help in getting the message out. Share this podcast with all the unstoppable women in your life, your friends, your colleagues, your business besties. Please do that. And if you're game, we'd super duper duper appreciate a review on iTunes as well. Thanks so much and be unstoppable.